Hallelujah. Well, it's been good all week. Keeping strong in the power of His might, by His Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit and everything this week that was going on in my life. And I tell you, it's not like, oh, I'm just glad it's Shabbat. It's been almost like a Shabbat all week. Because you stay aligned with the heavenlies. I've been learning and growing, having some little growth spurts about this binding and loosening, about the pay-off, being careful. And sometimes you'll catch yourself go to say in conversations, and you're like, nope, that's earthly. That's of this world's mindset, that's not of that. But in certain things, in need of, not being in a state of mind like, oh, I don't deserve it or anything, but I said, I'm going to do this. I want to try this. I call out to the heavenlies for this specific thing that I need. And always, nevertheless, because it's not just for something that I want to glorify me, it's to glorify Him. And that's what our Master did. He glorified the Father in everything. And so, this week, you know, last week I was going to speak and it didn't happen that way. It was supposed to be taking the place of somebody else, and then my turn would come later. And so at that time I had all this information and I had went over some things, and then this week I was going to just present that and leave it like that. And prayerfully considering, He added something to me yesterday morning. And when He did that, I'm like, man, sometimes you just got to be patient and wait. He's going to add something to it. And so instead of stepping right into what I wanted to present last week, I got something in front of that I needed to present. And it's basically a growth spurt. It's a real growth spurt. He showed me during the week through other people's actions, just observing people on the outside, people that were here and that are not here, just listening and watching in business. And what Pastor had to say about you can't take on $1 million business with a impoverished mindset. And I remember looking at a cypress tree in my yard. It's about this tall. And it's 3 years now. It's only been this tall. And I look up at the trees next to it, how huge, tall, and strong these cypress trees are. And I talked to many people that knew that place before I had it. They're saying that those trees are anywhere from 80 to 100 years old. And it took a long time, those trees being weathered. Even through Hurricane Katrina years later, they're still strong. It took a lot of being weathered and pressured and for those roots to grow. And over a long, long period of time for that cypress tree, those cypress trees to be what they are. And you know, even being in the business 20 years I am with the charter fishing business, it just didn't happen by just somebody passing me on a pile of business. I had no experience. You know, I'm thinking about, there's this one guy that's out there, and he's given the business through family, but he doesn't treat customers with respect. He came across my pad this week. I'm sitting there fishing, catching fish, and he just come run his motor right through the through the fish and say, hey, what's up? And he said, I've been here for 2 weeks. I'm going to do what I want. And I know the people who he's affiliated with. It's not his business. So I called those people up. I said, hey, this certain individual did this, this, and this. I said, he's not only representing himself, but he's representing your business. So what he just did reflected on you. And what he just did reflected on your customers. So everything he did reflected on you and your customers and your business. And he said, I know. I've been putting up with this for a long time, you know. And so he shared with me, it's just a part in the family that's holding him there. He would have got rid of him a long time ago, but there's a part of the family in there. And, you know, I was talking to somebody else about it. I said, you know, if that business was passed on to that individual, that individual would make that business a train wreck. So I started thinking about, in a business, it takes time. It takes time to build. It takes a long period of time to build. Where I am today, it took a long time to build over 20 years where I am today. And you get that feedback of your customers this week saying, man, look, we just love having you. You love it. And not to exalt myself, but I'm just telling you the feedback that I got all week long. And then I think about the kingdom. I think about the kingdom and the growth. And I think about, I put this down as a title, a pattern through the whole story in life of Yosef. Yosef had to go through all those patterns to get what wasn't supposed to be, to put on what was going to be in the family. This is Almighty Yah. This is what it was with Adam and Eve in the beginning. This is what family, face-to-face, reflection of Almighty Yah, with no flaws, all perfect, all the earth was good and worked perfectly. But through time, through one man's sin, death into the world, now we live in a world that's flawed. It's chaos. It's greedy. It's selfish. It's all a mess. It's all a big mess. And so Yosef started off, you know, in a place where he didn't know a whole lot. And he had to learn those things through the process. And through the process, he allowed the fleshly things to come off and allowed the spiritual to come on. And so through that process, he went through the pit, the prison, and we talked about the throne room and through character development. But if you think about it, we got to Bereshit chapter 50. And after 17 years, all those brothers got to see him display that hospitality, display all the stuff that the father displayed, all the things like our master did, all the same things, and forgiveness and love. And it got to, after 17 years, here they come. They didn't learn a thing. They didn't do a thing in character development. When we come here for a certain time that was set, things that are set for character development. And if you don't go through those character developments, you'll never see it. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, and indeed, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but grievous. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You got to be trained by it. And I wrote down this little thing. You ever heard the term from a father say, I tried everything I could, but there's nothing I could do. No matter what I tell him, he's going to do it his way, and there's nothing I can do to stop him from doing what he's doing because he just wants to have it his way. He'll never see it because he wants to have it his way. You ever heard those terms? If they were given the riches or given the position, Yeshua, our master, even talks about the one who was given everything. And he squandered and blew it. He had no mindset of the family of Almighty Yah. He had the wrong mindset. And so that's why we can't live off of somebody else's message, somebody else's just copying. We really got to get out there and we got to grow and go through it on our own terms. We have to get there. Yehovah has a blueprint, we talked about that, for every individual. And you can't get that off of somebody else's message. It's nice to rehearse the messages. It's nice to go over them and over them. But we've got to take that like Yosef did when he went to the pit, when he went to the prison, and he had to put those things on and take the things off that didn't belong. You have to let the Father discipline you individually to develop the you blueprint that the hand of Yehovah has for you, for his plans and purpose in the kingdom of the set apart sons. If you don't let him develop you, you won't stand the pressure and the heat. You will bring a train wreck to the family. You know, it's easy for people to say, I've been born again, and I got Jesus, I got Yeshua, and everything's going to be fine. I hear these sayings all the time. We talk about Bible and God. Well, I'm good. You know, I love Jesus. I love God. I go to church all the time, and that's all I have to have. And when I die, I'm going straight to heaven. I got it. I got it. I got it made. I'm like, you have to have training. You have to know what it's like to live in a family. You got to know his likes and dislikes. Joseph's brothers, after the death of Yaakov, a train wreck, fear from not letting go of the fleshly mentality, they had a sinful, flawed nature still about them. Remember, Scott was talking about how a lot of people win lotteries, millions of dollars, but they still have that impoverished mindset. And he was telling me about some people that he knows that through what they call that when somebody sues somebody. Yeah, they get a lot of money, but they still had a impoverished mindset. They went and wasted it, and they blew it on used stuff. You got millions of dollars that you just want, and you go blow it on used junk. And then you got none. And then you're back to square one again. No training. I guarantee you, when I first started charter fishing, if I would have had all those trips thrown at me at one time, I would have been a train wreck. I wouldn't have been able to handle them people. I wouldn't have been fast enough to be able to get to the spot. I would end up hurting somebody. I mean, if you think about it, would anybody in their right mind take a little five-year-old boy, like Kelsey's son? If you take that, what's his name again?
Bryson.
If you would take him and put him in the seat of your truck and say, go, would you be in your right mind to do something like that? You think he's going to go far? He wouldn't even probably know how to do it. Maybe he might. He might. I'll take my words back on that one. He might. Yeah. It's the same way. And that's why our master said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you missed your moment of visitation because they wasn't ready. They wasn't trained up. They were still back in the flesh. They were still adding on. And I tell you what has been helping me a lot since I read that one verse of scripture in Exodus chapter 20. I think it's verse 24, about hone stones. You can't add to, you can't take away. It's perfect, it's not flawed, there's nothing wrong with it. And you got to stay in this. And so, with that being said, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We too then, having so great a cloud of witnesses all around us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race set before us. Looking to the prince and perfecter of our belief, Yeshua, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, having despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him who endured such opposition from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your lives. You have not yet resisted into blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the appeal which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the discipline of Yehovah, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom Yehovah loves, he disciplines, and flogs every son whom he receives. If you endure discipline, Elohim is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Moreover, we indeed had fathers of our flesh disciplining us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Because you think about it for a minute. It says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Yeshua Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. For those who mind the things, who walk after the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. And those who walk after the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. And so there's a difference between the two. We got born again. We're letting go of the flaws and the mess. I mean, if you think about it, Israel, the northern and southern tribes, they were under Het. under the cat that was under this authority and under this family set of rules and how they lived and how they carried themselves. And everything was with the Spirit of Almighty Yah, even all the way through Solomon. But then afterwards, they got outside the family and they started looking like the outward world that's in a mess, in a wreck. And so what was perfect started becoming a wreck. And so it split. And after it split, if you go to the book of Lamentations, chapter 1 through chapter 5, you go look at Lamentations. I might try and read a little bit of it tonight. But their grief and their pain, and they're talking about how it was when we had him, and how it was great that we can come into his house. But now, because of what we did, they got us as prisoners. We're not up on the upper hand. We're treated in slavery, down in shackles and bondage because of what we did. Their lamentations, they talk about how it was. And now where are we at? We're in the rubble. And that's how it was. And then speed up, fast forward, and they got this guy, Zerubbabel. He's a lineage that's going to come all the way to Yeshua. He's in a lineage. But Zerubbabel, he's called by the heavenlies. He's going to Babylon. And if you read about his name, Zerubbabel, in the Hebrew, is a seed in Babylon. A seed in Babylon. And so when you think about those things, we're like a seed in Babylon. And we're growing in Babylon. But then it goes from Babylon and Jerusalem, and the temple was nothing but a pile of rubble. It's just a pile of rubble. It's a pile of trash. And in our life, we get born again, and we see it on the earth. We start reading the scripture. We're born again. We start reading in there from the beginning, and we see how it was. And they're seeing how it was in Lamentations. How it was. It was then. And now here we are now, and we're in a pile of rubble. It's a world of rubble. But now he's teaching us and training us, and we're growing. We're not there yet. And we're taught by Zerubbabel. They go over there. They got to go 500 miles, but it's Zerubbabel, it's the high priest, Joshua, and there's a remnant. It's a large number of a remnant, but it's a remnant. And in their lamentations, they're wishing to go back, and they want to go back, and they got the opportunity. Father's grace comes in and gives them that opportunity. And here they're going. They got it on their minds. They're not going a two-hour journey like we got to go, a three-hour journey to Goshen land. They got to go 500 miles of traveling. Not cars and vehicles and not planes. They're walking. They got their horses and whatever else they got to travel with. 500 miles took several months for them to get there. And this is elderly. This is middle class. They got the children. And they got to all go over there. But they have one mind and one purpose. We're getting to go rebuild. And when they get there, it's nothing but a pile of rubble. It reminded me whenever we had Katrina, and pastors like, what do you do with this? It's just a pile of rubble. But Yehovah is like, you have no idea. You don't see the greater picture. You got the vision. You got the dream. Yourself's got the vision. He's got the dream. And now he's in the pit. And he's saying, throw him. He's in the boil. He's in the prison. He's a slave. And he's going through all those things. He's got to go through these details. And I think about as I'm going through this journey, the three Hebrew words of the ancient path and the way, the Orek, the Derek, and the Netivah. When you get born again, it's a Derek or Orek. You see from here to there. We're going to be from here to there. That's a fast forward. But then you start learning and growing, and you get the pressure, and you start putting on those things because you can't be there if you don't fix yourself to be there. You got to get rid of the fleshly things, the old habits, the old ways that you was. And as you get rid of those things, and he comes in and he shows them his family way of living, it's like, wow. But as you go through that process for a long period of time, even in the charter fishing business, they're like, man, that is amazing how you do that. I've been on the boat with others. But I've been on the boat with you. How do you do that so fast? What do you? And then so make a long story short, it's the same thing with that. And that's why Yeshua said so many times, seeing, they don't see. Hearing, because you got to go through the experience yourself. You can't get it by grabbing it from somebody else. Somebody else's message, pastor's message ain't going to help me as far as me trying to copy it. It's his message for me to take and be trained up in. I have to train up in it. And you're going to go through those pressures. And you're not going to like it at first, but it's going to be very rewarding once you push through and you see. And then once you see, you got to stay adamant about it. Because if you slack off a little bit, it'll start putting you back into that negative, and you start doubting, and fear starts trying to come back. All those habits want to come back, and the enemy, your adversary, and your flesh will pull you back in really fast. But you got to stay focused. And you love to stay focused. So yeah, 500 mile journey to get there, and it's a pile of rubble. It's a pile of mess. And they got to start somewhere. And so they start building, and it's taking them some time. And then all of a sudden the enemy comes in. The enemy's trying to stop them. You got jealousy that comes in. Remember jealousy? All that jealousy and all outside, they can't see what's really happening. They only see them from their flawed mindset, the fleshly mindset. It looks funny. It looks stupid. It looks ignorant. Is who they think they are, because it's a fleshly mindset. You haven't grown enough to see what it is from the spiritual. That's why the spiritual and the fleshly cannot ever align or mix. And you got to grow. And so they're there for a while, and all of a sudden they have all this decree come against them, and so they're stopped. And I start thinking about us, and I'm thinking about the vision, and I'm thinking about all those things. And Zerubbabel, they're stopped for 2 years. They're stopped. And so all the people get to a place. How many know sometimes if you sit around and you're not paying attention, you can automatically get locked into where you are and just say, this is just the way it's going to be. I'm not going to ever get any further than this. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm never going to grow. I just love my Jesus. I love my God, and He loves me, and this is what I'll always be. And never get past that next rock to push through with the roots. Just a little push, a little shove. And so Zerubbabel needed that. The people needed that. It says that they were in a spot to where this is where we're going to be. We're just going to have to build our houses here. And they started doing that. And how many knows when you call upon the heavenlies, or sometimes the heavenlies will just come. Haggai and Zechariah, when I'm reading it, they're the heavenlies. And they come into the rescue. Here they come. They come down into Haggai, and they come into Zechariah. And Haggai, he comes there. And he's telling the people, what are you doing? You're going back into the world of mindset. You can't stay here. You're going to keep trying to make it, and you're going to like have a bag with holes in it. You're never going to catch it. You're going to keep putting a bag with holes in it. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to, come on, strengthen your hands and your legs. And Zechariah, he goes to Zerubbabel. He says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, you're going to build this temple in its completion. I know it looks like a pile of mess over there, and it's not done yet, but you will. And this is coming from the heavenlies. The heavenlies telling you this is going to happen. Call it complete and done. And so it's another story to look at of where we are today. Go look in the record. That's what the record's for. The record is from the heavenlies to build us on our part. You know, from the time of Adam and Eve, to the time to today, and to the time to the end, is a huge plan with so much detail in it. But Zerubbabel had his time. He was a seed that was sown, and it's a story that goes on to today to encourage us and strengthen us to say, hey, they got a Goshen land over there, and they're going to have minister to ministries over there. You made it this far. This is the next step. And I'm praying about mine. And I'll just share with you my vision individually, even before I even give it to pastor yet. I was praying about it and talking to my wife about it. I said, this is it. And I started telling her a bunch of stuff that I really didn't know. And she's my counterpart. And my counterpart says, hey, you're thinking too much. You're overthinking. Draw it back down. It's really simple. This is what it is. So what do you really want? I said, this is what I want. And this is what I desire. I've made it all the way to where, even like yesterday, I had a customer canceled 2 days for this month. And he's like, man, I'm so sorry. I got my something that came up, blah, 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 blah. I hope you can fulfill it. I was like, fulfill it? I said, as soon as I get off the phone with you, somebody's going to fulfill this. And I kid you not, as soon as I posted it, last night they were all fighting over it. Both days have been done already. So I text the guy, he goes, what? Really? Boy, you must be a busy guy. I'm thinking to myself, you have no idea where I am in Yah right now. So I see that I made it to that spot to where that, it's no big deal. I made it to that. And so I'm like, now I don't want to keep striving to work all my days in fishing to pay for debts, to keep having this insurance increases and all this tax pay. The more money I make, the more tax I got to pay. I said, Father, yeah, I need help in this area to pay all this off, and I'm going to pay it all off so I'm flexible so I don't have to fish so much. The only reason I'm fishing so much is to keep paying these things. It would really be incredible to have to only fish maybe 2 or 3 days so I'm flexible for Goshen Land and things I need to do in the ministry. That's what I want. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to be flexible. And I have to keep pushing so hard just to get in there for it when it comes to my turn. A piece here, a piece there, a piece there. But I said, nevertheless, he knows just like he knew Yosef, in the same way he knew his son Yeshua, who's seated at his right hand. There's pressures that have to come. Maybe I have to keep going through these things for a time to keep learning to be built in his character. And so, but that's my vision, and that's what I want and I desire. And so, Zerubbabel is another piece in the record for us to look at to see where he went. And it's a lot of detail in there what Haggai and Zechariah talks about in there. And so what verse was I on here? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Moreover, we indeed had fathers of our flesh disciplining us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed disciplined us for a few days as seemed best to them, but he does it for our profit so that we might share his set apartness. And indeed, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but grievous. Remember? Grief? Is it favor?
And honor.
Honor, I'm sorry. Yeah, grief, then honor. Is grief, then honor. But afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So strengthen the hands which hang down, and the weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned aside, but instead be healed. Pursue peace with all. Pursue set apartness, without which no one shall see the Master. See to it that no one falls short of the favor of Elohim, that no root of bitterness spring up causing trouble, by which many became defiled, lest there be anyone who whores, a profane one like Esau, who for a single meal sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wished to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. For you have not drawn near to a mountain touched and scorched with fire, and to blackness and darkness and storm, the sound of a trumpet and a voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that no further words should be spoken to them, for they could not bear what was commanded. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot through with an arrow. And so fearsome was the sight that Moshe said, I exceedingly fear and tremble. But you have drawn near to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living Elohim, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of messengers, to the entire gathering assembly of the firstborn, having been enrolled in heaven, and to Elohim, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Yeshua, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks better than the blood of Hebel. Take heed not to refuse the one speaking. For if those did not escape who refused the warning on earth, much less we who turn away from him from heaven, whose voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also the heaven, and this, yet once more, makes clear the remnant, I mean the removal, of what is shaken, as having been made, so that the unshaken matters might remain. Therefore, receiving an unshakable reign, let us hold the favor through which we serve Elohim, pleasingly with reverence and awe, for indeed our Elohim is a consuming fire. So we have to put this family traits on in order to make it through, because that's what we're headed for. The whole of yourself, his brothers and his father Yaakov, is for our training to develop. What you allow to discipline you will have you set for the future of God's family. And that's what God's family is going to be like. One who refuses to change to develop cannot and will not know what to do, how to react, or how to respond in the real. The training is for us to know how to respond in the real. Our training is getting us to when we get together with COI and some that have a lot more knowledge than us, have a lot less knowledge than us. We all meet together on an equal plane and listen to the Ruach, and we've been well trained up enough to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it in fellowship. And I tell you what, I said it to everybody in here, and I'm going to say it again. Out of all my years being Faith Temple Ministries, in the ministry, spiritual, that day over there, last Shabbat, was the most spiritual time I ever had in my life. That was so incredible. And I can't never remember his name, but I relive it in my mind over and over and over. Minister, the older guy.
Johnson.
Huh?
Johnson.
Johnson. That's his name, Minister Johnson. I sat down and listened to him, and as he ministered, all about the spirit and the flesh. The spirit and the flesh. And how it is in this, and how it is. He's got it tuned. He is so in tune with that. And he is such a well trainer in that for those who are born again. I just really enjoyed that. I really did. I was feeding off of that. My cup was overflowing, you know, feeding off of him and listening to him and appreciating him. And I went up to him, and I told him, I said, Minister Johnson, I said, man, I said, in your message, you know, I was reminded of, I got this little blackbird that likes to come in my boat. I've been feeding him and feeding him. And, you know, as I've been feeding him, you know, I'm getting acquainted with him, thinking about, you know, how it was in the kingdom and how now everything's a mess, how people want to kill everything. Everything's a hunting grounds. Everything's got to be eaten and greeted. I said, there's going to be a day. I said, but it's just like you said, that day won't come until the sons, the set apart ones, get it together. I said, we got to get it together, the remnant. We got to get it together, because it says that when the sons of Elohim get it together, then it's all going to come, because the creation groans and waits for that day for the sons of Elohim to get it together. And I'm just excited about Minister of Ministries in Goshen Land and here. It's not separate. It's all one unit. But the Father's using all these places for the lives of people. It's all about the lives of people. And I had a little incident happen to me yesterday. I was getting ready to come home. And there's this big group that we've been taking fishing for years, and I've been using most of the same different guides, you know. And I was fixing to leave, and the head guy of the whole thing, he comes up to me, and I roll my window down, and he said, man, I'm really enjoying all the captains and everything. He said, but, you know, there's this one individual, he says, it's just, we've been trying for years, and we're trying to ask you to do what you guys do. You know, I was like, what's the deal? What's the problem? He says, look, it's gotten to where, you know, I got to make the guys pick straws out of the 12 guys in the group because they don't want to go with that individual. And I'm sorry. The only way we can keep them for next year is if you can tell him he needs to do this. I said, I can't tell anybody to do anything. There's no way I could tell him. I said, that person ain't going to listen to me. And then he's like, well, we're spending money and paying you guys to do this, this, and this. And just we feel like We're getting cheated out of our monies. We'd like it like all the rest. I'm like, okay, all right. He said, we like somebody else. We don't want that individual. I was like, all right. I'm on the way home. And it's bittersweet. Because I'm in the shower. And I said, Father, you know, I love. And then I started thinking about how pastor said, hey, there's going to be times in the ministry. It's not an easy thing. Because you love. But there's another side. And so I'm in the shower. And I'm praying, Father. And he says, you're not the judge. You're just there. And when I say no, it's no. And when I say yes, it's yes. He says, I'm going to remind you of something. He reminded me of Samuel. He reminded me of Saul. He says, I told Saul over and over and over, and he wouldn't listen to me, and I had no choice. This is what I had to do. Now, I'm not saying that about this individual, but I'm just using it as an example for our lives. If you keep ignoring him when he's telling you to do something, just like our earthly father says, I've tried over and over, no matter what I tell him, he won't listen to me, nothing I tell him. There's nothing I could do with him. He won't listen to me. And it's the same way. When I keep telling him and telling him, he thinks it's a joke, he thinks it's funny, he won't listen to me. There's nothing I can do about this individual, Paul. So you go, and you go anoint Jesse's son with the oil. That's the weed. He said, you go anoint him with the horn. He's going to be the man that I call. And so you just got to say what I say. And so when the Spirit of Yah, his voice came on Haggai, and his voice came on Zechariah, try and fit your feet and hit their shoes. They got to go there, and they got to say the words that he said to say. And they can't wishy-washy a little bit or be loving and kind and pray, well, maybe, Father. Now, I didn't say that. I said this. Now, you have to go do this. And that's not an easy thing. And Pastor talked about it. There's a lot of things that he had to do, and it's not an easy thing. And even up there for Shabbat, he's like, okay, here's the part. I don't like this part. It's not an easy part. And I learned there, out looking at everything and observing, I would have said wrongly. When he got up there and did that, it was a training time for me. Because there was one minister that was saying things that I was like, man. And there's another one saying things, I'm like, man, that's incredible. And I'm picking and choosing. Wow, this one says that. That one knows it. And I'm like, and I'm thinking about what would be said. And when the Ruach came on past and said it like that, I was like, that was beautiful. I would have train wrecked it. I would have train wrecked it based on the way somebody was speaking, because he gets up there and says, you did a good job, basically. Good job, huh? I want to appreciate everything you had to say today. That was really good. But this is what we need. And he makes a circle. And it was incredible the way the Ruach does it. So it taught me, you got to be very careful of what you're thinking. Because the thinking gets us in a lot of trouble. And so it's not what you think. You got to listen. And so 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And Jehovah said to Shemuel, how long are you going to mourn for Shaul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Yishai and Beth-Lemet, for I have seen among his sons a sovereign for myself. See, that's the danger in refusal to listen. Nothing I tell him to listen, and in the end, he'll make a train wreck, and I just talked about that. So if you think about it, why does Yeshua have all authority over the flesh? He was trained and developed how to rule over it with his father's character developed in him. Set apart ones are trained out of the mindset. Set apart ones are trained out from the mindset of this world. We got to get out of the mindset of this world. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26, explains what I'm trying to say. It says, John 17, verses 1 through 26, Yeshua said these words and lifted up his eyes, where? To the heavenlies. And said, Father, the hour has come. Esteem your Son, so that your Son also might esteem you. As you have given him authority over all what? Flesh. That he should give everlasting life to all whom you have given him. And this is everlasting life. That they should know you, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua Messiah, whom you have sent. I have esteemed you on earth, having accomplished the work you have given me that I should do. And now esteem me within your, and now esteem me with yourself, Father, with the esteem which I had with you before the world was. His blueprint was set before he even got there. It was all set. And that's what he stepped into. He didn't give in to anything in the flesh. We have a master that overrode all the flesh. And we have a master that helps us train to get out of the flesh. There is therefore no condemnation for those who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're getting trained out of the flesh and into the Spirit. He says, I have revealed your name to men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they guarded your word. Now they have come to know that all you gave to me is from you. Because the words which you have given to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and have truly known that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, yours are mine, and I have been esteemed in them. And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, set apart Father, guard them in your name which you have given me, so that they might be one as we are. When I was with them in the world, I was guarding them in your name which you have given me, and I watched over them. And not one of them perished except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be filled. And now I come to you, and I speak these words in the world, so that they have my joy completed in them. You know, I think about joy. Joy off of somebody else is one thing. But when you start to master what it is to be in the Spirit and you grow, you got a real joy. You got a real joy. There's a joy. There's a joy. Riding on the heights of the water only through training to get to where I was today and singing I'm a living testimony in the water out loud, whether the guys behind me could hear it or not, of everything I've been experiencing, everything in the business, everything in the Spirit, everything in the, we're learning and growing in right now. It's just incredible to ride on those heights and to be around those people. And to know that you can have a business, and you can go to church on a Wednesday, on a Friday night, and on a Shabbat, and honor him, and make it, and still withhold your mouth from speaking like other people speak, negative, doubtful, ugly. There's no such thing as, well, it's just a little hard for me. No, you're thinking with a fleshly mindset. You got to go through the pressure, and you got to grow, and you see that you can ride on the heights. And you won't be a pigeon pecking. You'll be an eagle soaring on the heights. You'll be soaring the heights. And you'll be looking down and seeing all of the things that you can do in him. Not by might, nor by power, because you can't make it in the flesh. The flesh are only things that understand the things of the Father. It's by the Spirit. And that's the only way Zerubbabel made it. That's the only way they got to building it. That's the only way they completed it. They believed what he said. They put hand and foot to work, and they got it done. It didn't fall out of the sky and build itself. It took them traveling. It took them hard working times to get there. He says, I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the wicked one. Why does he not take us out of the world? Because the world is being used to pressure us to change and conform to him. That's what we're being in the world for, to be conformed to him. They are not of the world as I am not of the world. Set them apart in your truth. That's his desire for us, to be set apart. He wants us to be set apart. In this world, he wants us to be set apart. Zerubbabel was a seed. That's the Hebrew word. Zerubbabel was a seed in the middle of Babylon. We are seeds planted in the middle of Babylon. And we're growing and being a light in the middle of Babylon. And they got favor from Yah to go build in the middle of all that. And I think about that. I say, Father, I don't know how, when, or where, but you got setups for me and my business and everything that I have to get things paid for and my finances and my debts. And the same thing with that property and everything about that property. Just one word. That's all he's got to speak is one word and it's done. But we got to show forth that we're serious about it. That's the only way it's going to happen. We got to show forth that we're all on board and we're serious about it. And Zerubbabel had a mandate. He had a place to go. With him or without him, he had to go. He had to be the leader. He had to be that leader. As you sent me in the world, I also sent them into the world. And for them I set myself apart, so that they too might be set apart in truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those believing in me through their word, so that they all might be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they too might be one in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me. How's the world going to believe that he sent me if we're not here to be those lights in the world, salt and light in the world? And the esteem which you gave me, I have given them, so that they might be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, so that they might be perfected into one, so that the world knows that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those whom you have given me might be with me where I am, so that they see my esteem which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, indeed the world did not know you, but I knew you, and these knew that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and shall make it known, so that the love with which you love me might be in them, and I in them. And that's the Father's love towards us, just like he has for them. In Bereshit 50, verses 15 through 21. And when Yosef's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Yosef hates us and pays us back all the evil which he did, which we did to him? And they sent word to Yosef, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, this is what you to say to Yosef, I beg you, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of Elohim of your father. And Yosef wept when they spoke to him. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, see, we are your servants. And Yosef said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of Elohim? And you intended evil against me, but Elohim intended it for good in order to do as it is this day, to keep a great many people alive. And now, do not fear, I provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So again, there was 17 years of no change and no character development. And you know, I'm not saying that certain individuals won't, because as long as they have breath, I'm still praying for them. But there's certain individuals, no matter what Yehovah has done, just like Paul and Shaul, they just wouldn't listen. They just won't listen. They won't see it. They won't hear it. And I wrote myself a little note. I'm sorry, I can't use them. Get somebody else. There's some tough words. And that was some tough words for Samuel to hear, for Samuel to hear. When you love someone as Yah loves, but there's nothing that can be done to get that someone to change their mind of don't tell me what to do, you can take it or leave it. Some people just have that mind. Don't tell me what to do. You could take it or leave it. This is just who I am, and this is what I'm always going to be. And that's just what we're going to be. You can't get people to change when they're in that kind of mindset. And yourselves, brothers, for 17 years stayed in that kind of mindset, but they still had a hope. They still had a chance. And Yosef didn't change or conform to what they had to say. He still loved them. He still cared for them. And he still shared with them, this is what I've been doing for you all this time. I'm not the judge. He's the judge. There has to be a development. It starts as a seed. Receiving and training is a process. Many will and many won't. Our job is to develop and let our set-apart lives be seed sowers with the time that we have left. Zerubbabel was a seed sower in his time. We're a seed sower in our time. We're only going to live so long, and then we'll die, or his return will come. Maybe in our time, I don't know. Maybe they might have a longer length of time to still go, but we're just a seed being sown in the lives of other people in this little piece of time. Just a little bitty piece of how many years that we live. We have an opportunity, young, middle age, or elderly. Everybody has an opportunity to sow these seeds right now while we have a chance. So I thought about that. I'm like, okay, I made it this far. This is where I am. I've grown in these areas. What's the next growth spurt? I'm like, oh, I need time. I only got so much time left. Get to be 80, 100, that's 30, 40 more years. I'm 52. That went really quick. Time goes quick. It's like a vapor. You better get all that you can get in right now and do what the Master's telling you to do. Matthew chapter 13. And the taught ones came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answering said to them, because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the reign of the heavens, but to them it has not been given. For whoever possesses, to him more shall be given, and he shall have overflowingly. But whoever does not possess, even what he possesses, shall be taken away from him. Because of this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. No change, no development, you won't see it. You can see it in the other ones that hadn't been here for many, many years. When you're out there and you're talking with them, and little episodes, these little episodes come out of things that we used to say. They're like, ooh. I wouldn't say that again. Ooh, I wouldn't act like that. That's because they're not here going through the growth spurts. They're still there. It's like time stopped. You could say I got God. You could say I'm in love with God. You could say all these things, but you're not growing. You're not developing. You still have those negatives, those doubts. Other people's doing this to me. Is this one's fault? Is that one's fault? Those growth spurts, you won't see it. You'll leave the kingdom a train wreck if you let you in the kingdom. That's the whole reason why we're going through these growth pains and these growth spurts and development. So when we get there, as leaders, we won't cause this kingdom to be a train wreck. That's why he would say, depart from me. I know you did this in my name, did that and that, but you had no growth. If I put you in leadership right now, you're going to cause a mess. That's going to be a train wreck over here. You got to be trained up and well trained, and then you got to get up there and speak it like it's supposed to be spoken. And in every situation, you got to be able to say and do things like he says over here to get there and to do those things. In Luke 19, 41 through 44. And as he came near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you only knew, even today, the matters for your peace. And it's just like a person who has a poverty mindset and gets $1 million, they don't know what to do with it. They have no training. They haven't been trained. The reason why, again, I'm not exalting myself, but I'm just letting you know, the reason why I got 5-star, the reason why I have so much business, the reason why I have so many people say, you can go look at them for yourself. There's all positive. All positive is because you trained, and sometimes you don't even realize it when you're around other people, that your light and the hospitality and the love of Elohim is reflecting on other people. You don't even realize you're doing that to other people, and they come to you and they're drawn to it. You don't have to preach to people a message. You just live the character and develop, and they'll be drawn to you. He says, but now they are hidden from your eyes, because days shall come upon you when your enemies shall build a rampart around you and surround you and press you on all sides and dash you to the ground and your children within you, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You didn't listen when I told you to train up. You didn't listen. You missed your time. There's people that he set stuff in their lap, and because they didn't want to train up, they're looking for prosperity, they're looking for the blessings, and it's sitting right there in front of them, and they'll pass it right on by because they didn't want to train up. They would have train wrecked it. If you would have given it to you, you would have train wrecked it. It would have been a mess. That's why so many churches are a mess today. It's a train wreck, because it's not given by his unhewn stones. It's been chipped on. It's been messed with. You can't do that. It's no different than the world. It's a train wreck. It's a mess. And he's going to fix it. He's going to put it back to the way it was. And he's raising up many that's going to put it together with our Messiah. And in the Pevav, we don't want to miss this opportunity Yah has blessed us with this Pevav year. Everyone has to deal with sin in the flesh. It's always there, but from the beginning, Yah said to Cain, what did he say to Cain? You can control it. It's up to you. And our Master's telling us, you can control it. And I've told myself that many times when I've made the mistakes and the faults. And later on, after I learned from those mistakes, and teshuva, I turned away from those, and I look back, I'm like, nope, I'm well-trained enough that I don't have to do that again. I'm going to overcome those things. And our Master has been given head and power, it just said that, over all flesh, and teaches us how to train up and to rule over it. It's up to us to rule over it and train up. The Master's telling us to train up. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I was praying about it, and the Father reminded me of a dream that I had. I talked about it a little bit in Midrash, but it stuck with me, and it's still with me. You know, the Father gives each and every one of us individually dreams, and there's also the dreams that come through our messenger, our pastors, of a vision of where we're going. And so I dreamed this dream, and I shared it in Midrash. Maybe I'll share it again. But I dreamed I was dreaming, I was troubled, but reading a story in a book about a noble man that had lost his way and was looking for a key. And he was in a palace with many doorways, searching. And in his searching for the key to make it there, he found himself praying and reading. And as I was reading, I paused, and as I paused, Yah said to me, "You have me always with you." And I awoke in the dream, still dreaming. That's it. Out of the millions of things that I think I need for the key for the door to the kingdom, you have one thing that nothing else can top to get there, and that's Yah, to have Yah, to have Him. He said, "You got me." He said, "Do you understand that you have me? Nothing else tops that." Even when I'm on the water every day, I'm like, And I know when I'm in right standings, he's with me. And I'm out there, I said, you're right here with me. These waters can't overwhelm me. I know when to go, when not to go. Yesterday, it was just three boats staying inland and was going to go snapper fishing. Well, the weather forecast brewed up really high. I mean, really high. And I mean, it was blowing. And me and Jack and Jacob, they looked at me and said, hey, it's going to be too rough out there. We're not going. It's going to be too rough out there. I said, we got to have common sense. We're not going out there in those kind of seas. And though, so we go down the river, and we're inland, and then other boats go out there and say, we're going out there anyway. And they said, it was so rough out there. There's just times you got to listen. There's just times you go, and there's just times you don't go. And so we had one individual say, well, you know what? So-and-so's out there. He went. Well, that so-and-so out there, he's a little bit braver than all the rest. And so this person goes out the end and goes a little ways out and calls back and says, yep, it's too rough out there. I'm turning. I'm coming back. So it didn't go. But sometimes you got to really listen when to go and when not to go. But getting back to this dream, and in this dream, he handed me a key. What is the key? A nobleman. And I awoke from the dream, filled with so much confidence, and I truly awoke and said to myself, I have Yah, and with him is the key, a nobleman. So I started looking up everything about a nobleman. And I started believing everything he told me. And when I started looking into this, let me just read this. So like I said earlier, Yehovah has a blueprint for every person. He's got a blueprint. And you're going to find that. You're going to find all the talents that he's given you. You're going to find out who you are and how he's taken us from that impoverished mindset or that negative, doubting mindset. There's no way I'd be where I am today if it wasn't for being trained up and listening and growing in Almighty Yehovah. I was on my bed a little while ago before I came, and I was thinking about that, and I was weeping. I was like, wow, look where I am today. This is amazing. If I would have stayed in the mindset where I was raised up in, all those negatives, that's all it's always going to be. Remember the good old days? That's all they said. Remember the good old days? I wish it was like the good old days. There's no future in, I wish it was the good old days. Trying to live in the past, old mindset. This is how it is, this is how we are, and this is how we always be. We'll always be, the poor gets poor and the rich get richer. They said it over and over again. That's a poor-mouthing, bad mindset. They always got more than me. That's how it's always going to be. Nope. The Father pulled us out of that mindset. And he put us into a real mindset. And so I looked up everything on a nobleman because he said this about me. And there's this verse of scripture that I keep in mind when I'm on the water. It's in Psalms chapter 139, verses 9 and 10. This is for me now. This is what I have because it reminds me what I do. It says, I take the wings of the morning. I love getting up in the morning. I don't know what it is about the morning. Morning is, I don't know, it's just because you're fresh and just woke up, but it's like when you start reading and you start talking with him, it's like you just fill up. You're like a ready writer, just steady writing down. But in the evening, you get tired and you really got to push to get there. You really do in the evening. But I take the wings of the morning. I dwell in the uttermost parts of the city. See, where am I at most of the time? I'm on the sea. In the uttermost parts of the sea. There too, your hand will lead me and your right hand uphold me. Every day I'm out on the water. And so that's for me. That's where I am. So Yahweh has a blueprint for every person. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. For the rest, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble. This caught my eye because it's got noble in it. Whatever is righteous, whatever is clean, whatever is lovely, whatever's a good report, if there's any uprightness and if there's any praise, think on these. This is your mindset. This is how you're supposed to think. This is your mindset. And what you have learned, and this is what I pray every single day. I say, Father, everything that I've heard and learned and seen in you, please remind me, let me not forget. Please let me not forget. What you have learned and received and saw in me, practice these and the Elohim of peace shall be with you. So this word nobility. The primary Hebrew word for noble is nadiv. Nadiv. Meaning to be generous, willing, or princely. It often implies a noble-hearted disposition or is a generous person. And today I was thinking about this word. And I was on my way home and I went to the dollar store and I was in line and there's this black guy. He's in his work clothes. He's got some holes in his pants. I can tell he works. And he's got a bag of bread, just one loaf of bread. And he's got a handful of dimes and pennies and nickels. And you know, anybody in the flesh is going to be sitting there, how long is it going to take? But I'm reading spiritually. This guy's counting his money for one loaf of bread. And he goes to walk away, and his buddy comes behind him, and he's got a little pack of donuts and something else. And he's like, hey, I'm going to see you in the car. And he walks out the door. And I just got given a bunch of tip money. And I pulled out my pocket. I saw that $50 bill, and the father said, you go give that to that man. You go be generous. So I walked out the door. The man was fixing to get in his truck. I said, hey, man, I just want to give this to you. He looked at it. He goes back inside. I don't know where he's going. He's going to get him some more food. There's people that's hurting and don't have as much as what I have. And so what did the father say this past Shabbat? He said, it's not the money that's just evil. It draws out what's in you. There's one in you, right? That's what it does. Whatever you are, it's just going to amplify it. So if you're greedy and you get a lot of money, you're going to be more greedy. If you're generous and you get a lot of money and you show that proof to Yehovah, you're going to be more generous. The more money, this is pennies. This guy's going to get him some food. And that's what a noble man is generous. And he gave me this dream and this word, and he said, you're a noble man. Remember that. That's your key. You're a noble man. A generous. Other Hebrew terms for noble include korum and adur. We'll talk about that. Nadiv is used for someone generous or willing, a willing vessel. Korum often refers to a nobleman or the upper class, indicating freeborn status. Adur is greatness and strength, a majestic status. Adzil refers to a noble or high-ranking leader. Leadership, there's five of us in leadership. It's leadership. And generosity, keys of concept in nobility in Hebrew, generosity, nadiv, connects to nobility with the willing, voluntary spirit of giving. They give. And giving can come from not just money, can give from a lot of different places. Sacrificing your time. Sacrificing your time. Proverbs 31:29 says, many daughters have done nobly, but you have risen over them all. So it is noble in this Proverbs 31:29. Is Chayil, Strong's H2428, in its strength, might, efficiency, wealth, army, strength, ability, efficiency, and wealth. What are we speaking right now? Binding and loosening? I'm debt free. All my stuff is paid for. My house is paid for. Every debt that I have is paid for. So I can be freed up a lot to be able to be flexible because I prayed that when I was, I can't remember how many years ago it was, but I was in a place to where I was working with an oil field company And I was binded tonight, even when I was coming here on Sundays rather than in the Shabbat on the seventh day. I said, I need to be free from man's work of being able to be here to be flexible. And he blessed me with job after job after job to give me this fishing job that I can, anytime I want to, I can say yay or I can say nay. And so here I am, and now I'm asking to be flexible from these debts. And I know he's going to do it, and I just got to keep putting forth that effort. And it's a pay-off year, and it's very important. We're talking about binding and loosening. So you look up to the heavenlies and ask it in his account, and he'll do that for us. That's what we're being told, to be careful what you say. So that's Chayil, H2428. From H2342, probably a force rather of men, means, or other resources, an army, a wealth, strength, able, and it's activity. And I'm a very active person when it comes to being on the waters, and when I come in and everything I do, I'm a very active person. I stay active. I don't stay still. A lot of people like to fish sitting at a seat and watch the customers fish. I choose to jump in the middle of everything. I want to be right there in it all. And I hear the customers, sometimes I say, do y'all want me to fish? I sit down, no, Chad, we love you fishing with us. Keep fishing with us. We love it. Fill up the box with us. So they just love my activity, and I love doing it. It's just the way I'm designed, I guess. I don't know. I just love to be active. The most time, I promise you, I get in trouble is when I'm sitting around not doing nothing for a long period of time and not staying in the Word. You can get in a lot of trouble with idle time. And he reminded me of that in the scriptures. He says, idle is bad. No idle. Idle is real bad. You got to make sure you take and take care of all your time rather than wasting a bunch of your time. There's able activity, power and riches and strength. Genesis 47:6. The land of Mishraim is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know of what kind of men? Capable men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. We need chayil. We need capable men. Men with strength, men with might, wealth, efficiency, force, like an army. Yaakov was brought before Pharaoh. Was he not? Yaakov was brought before Pharaoh. Whatever you do, you sooner or later, in the same way, you will be brought before people and someone somewhere. And Pharaoh was fascinated at Yaakov, wasn't he? And come think about this past, I think it was week before last, I took these people last year fishing, and I didn't know a whole lot about them. And I was living my life around them, and they picked to come fishing with me again. We love fishing with you. And was out on the water fishing with them again, and there were some things that they started bringing up, and I started bringing up, and they said, that's why we love chartering with you, Chad, and we picked you, because there's just something about you. I said, wait, what you mean? He said, we don't know if we classify you as a Messianic Jew or what. He said, don't you know that we're Jews? And I'm like, oh. I started thinking about, then it's kind of like, hit me really fast, thinking about, boy, you got to be careful whenever you're speaking around other people. Do you know what you've been around for these past two years, two different trips? You've been around Jews. This guy's sitting there telling me, yeah, I'm from the bloodline and lineage of the Levites, Levi. And I say, I'm from Judah. He says, I said, well, so your name is not really Jeff. What is it? He says, it's Yaakov. I'm like, oh, you got it. So and the other guy, mine's Michael, but it's not Mike. It's Michael, like the Gabriel angel. That's what I'm named after. I'm like, so now all of a sudden I'm like, okay. And so they start asking me questions. I got this question. Why do y'all claim this Messiah as being God, and as being, and he started throwing out the Trinity. I was like, whoa. You got me in the wrong category. I said, that's something I came away from a long time ago. So you don't believe in the Trinity? I said, no, sir. What do you believe about our Messiah? I said, this is what I believe. Since I've started looking in the Torah from the beginning and reading it, I wouldn't be able to know who my Messiah is. And the same thing with you. And so they start telling me different things about, you know, their beliefs. And they know how to do this. And that's a long story. I really don't have time to go through it tonight. But I started sharing with them Hebrew words and things that I know and reciting the Shema and everything we talk about on Shabbat morning. And they're like, you know that. You know it. And they started getting excited. And we're just talking and we were laying messages back and forth. Hebrew words, Hebrew things. And it was exciting. But then every now and again, they keep throwing these F-bombs out. And I'm like, I said, whoa, hold on, wait a minute. I said, so you notice in here, everything about it says in Devarim. And we recite it in church, in the Torah. And you claim yourself to be Jews, and that you fashion yourself after them, but yet your language is like this? And their heads kind of went down like this. And they're not saying anything. And I said, you just got finished telling me about our master and our Messiah, about this and that, and how can people say this, and how can people say that? But yet, you're not even reflecting him with these words like this. This don't make no sense to me. Well, Rabbi so-and-so says this. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, I'm living right in the middle of Pharisees and Sadducees. These guys are spitting out words of men, traditions and religions. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, over here in the New Writings in the New Testament, they've hung the stones and they've added all their religion, they say so, and God's this and Jesus is this and this and that. They got their add-ons. Well, over here, you got the Jews, Rabbi says this, Rabbi says that, and they've added on and taken away. You got to sing a song like this. You got to have it with a drawn-out word. You got to have it like this and like that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm sitting in the middle of Jews sowing some seeds. They said, but there's just something about you. So you don't believe in this or that? I said, no. I believe everything he said is true from the beginning. A root shall come forth from the stump of Yishai, and its fruits shall be fruitful. The roots of his fruits shall be fruitful. And it even says, the man who doesn't listen to my words that he speaks in my name, I shall require it of him. And they're relating to these words. They hear what I'm saying. And they're like, wow. I said, look, we just got finished doing Pesach. Oh, you know about Pesach? Yeah. We're working our way to Shavuot right now. And I said, I'm going to say Shavuot. A lot of people say Shavuot. He said, yeah, it's Shavuot. No, it's Shavuot. I'm like, okay, so he's telling me it's Shavuot. I'm like, that's right. I said, it's Shavuot. There's no I in there. It's U-O-T, Shavuot. And we're going through all that. And so we're talking about those things. I said, there's a lot of things we broke away from that's really pagan, like Christmas and Easter. Like, you don't do Christmas and Easter? I'm like, so I had to do a double take. I'm like, all right. So they're Jews, they do Christmas and Easter. I'm saying this to myself. I'm like, okay. They said, yeah, we do Christmas and Easter. I'm like, okay, all right. I said, well, we don't. I said, we don't partake in unclean foods neither. Like this and that. And boy, their heads went down again. I'm like, man, this is crazy. But the Father allowed me to be put in that position to learn something. And so anyways, they said, this is why we booked you. There's just something about you. There's something different. We like it. It's weird, but he said, but anyways, make a long story short, I got to learn what Messiah says when he says to Nicodemus, Yeshua didn't die and go on the cross yet for the born again experience. This guy, Nicodemus, is a part of Israel, and he says, do you not understand what to be born again is? I'm like, so that's it. These are Jews that are not actually born again yet. They're not born again yet. They're living in the world as Jews. That's what they are. And that would be no different than somebody that proclaims God as Christian, but they still do everything in the world. Sinful nature. It's the same thing. And I told him, I said, well, you know what, in the end, whether he came yet to you or not, our master's going to come, and he's going to put your side, and he's going to put the Christianity side together as one. He goes, amen. Now, we can agree with that. Amen. I said, amen. He said, yep, amen. That's how you say it. Amen. And so, we had some great talks. But had I not been trained up all these years to know anything about Hebrew text, Hebrew language, anything about Hebrew, even we talked about Abraham being an Aramean. They knew that. I knew it now, I know it now. But had I not trained up, we wouldn't have had nothing to conversate about. There would have been no seed sown at this time in Chad's time of living. There's seeds to be sown in his time of living. And so my time's up. Man, I don't want to talk about so much different things. But hey, I'm going to end it right there. And Shabbat Shalom.